Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for meditation this morning comes from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter, where our Lord says to his disciples, "Rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Probably this past week, you, like many other of those in the United States, celebrated Independence Day, commemorating the day that the Continental Congress declared that the 13 colonies of the 13 American colonies were no longer subject and subordinate to the kingdom of the British monarchy. They declared they were united and free and independent. And it is good, right, and salutary that we give thanks to God that we do live in a free country. And we must never forget that freedom is not free, but it is purchased at a great price. Oftentimes, we take that price for granted. If you and I did not witness the blood and the gore of the price being paid in battle, well, many times it's really easy to take that price for granted, thinking that the sacrifice was no big deal. As the saying goes, all gave some gave all. Many have sacrificed their lives in the name of freedom, and others have sacrificed some by working hard behind the scenes to help keep the mission operating successfully. Everyone has to do their part. And freedom in the United States was won by ordinary people who were dedicated to the mission. And as great as our nation is, or is not, for that matter, there is a far greater freedom than living in an independent nation. Because we know that earthly kingdoms rise and earthly kingdoms fall. But the kingdom of God has come near. The kingdom of our Lord and his Christ shall reign forever and ever. That greatest freedom comes through Jesus Christ alone. That greatest freedom is having salvation in Christ Jesus and having your name written in the book of heaven. That's where true freedom is. Unlike freedom in the United States, freedom in the gospel was won by one man, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the cornerstone and foundation of the Christian faith. And even if the gates of hell will not prevail against Christ's church. It was Jesus alone who won victory over sin, death, and the power of the devil. And now he has given to his church a mission that flows from himself as she faithfully gathers around word and sacrament. The mission is like any other mission. It requires dedication by all. And this mission that Jesus has given you as a member of the Holy Christian Church is to proclaim the words, the works, the life, death, and resurrection of Christ Jesus wherever you are in your station of life. Make disciples by means of baptizing and teaching all that Jesus has commanded. You see, our Lord didn't leave you stranded out on the battlefield alone to do his work. He strengthens and he defends his holy church to guard and fend off the works of the evil one and also Satan's temptations. But we know that it's not by your works or the works of man, but it is the work of our Lord through his church to rescue souls from the loss of freedom, the loss of salvation and eternal life. As a member of Christ's church, Jesus has called you to duty. He's called you to put on the full armor of God. He has called you to fight the good fight in your own particular station in life. Because the fact is, we live in dark times. We live in evil times. But our Lord has given His church the power over the devil. It comes through the church, through the power of the Holy Spirit, working through you and me. Again, everyone has to do their part. So, what do you suppose we should do first, according to the mission? Well, in our text, Jesus says, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest. You notice here, Jesus is not calling all of mankind to go out into the field and be laborers, but He is calling all Christians to do their part. You, brother and sister in Christ, pray. Pray that the Lord would send workers out into the harvest fields. Some are given to preach and teach, but others are given to support those who have been sent into the harvest fields. Support them prayerfully, and most especially, support them financially. In baptism, you were given the Holy Spirit and made part of Christ's church. And as a member, you can't just stand idly on the sidelines basking in your freedom. That freedom came at a great price. And that price was Jesus' precious blood and His innocent suffering and death. And out of Christian freedom, because of the love that you have for the one who gave His all on Calvary's cross, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you are enabled to do your part in the mission. What is that mission? It is sharing the redeeming love of Jesus with those you come upon. That mission is supporting the church prayerfully and financially. That mission is loving your neighbor as yourself and loving the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. You know, those of you who have had children, the youngsters want to help out mom and dad in the house, in the garage, out in the yard. They're not trying to earn points with mom and dad. They're not trying to impress or earn rewards. They're doing it out of love for mom and dad. They're doing these things because they look up to mom and dad and they want to imitate mom and dad. So too in the church. Service in the church is your privilege. You serve the church out of love for the one who died that you might live eternally. And now you can rejoice and take your responsibility seriously, even while the devil and the world and your sinful nature all work really hard, trying to distract you and make you think that you don't have any responsibility to Christ's church. No responsibility to the mission. God gives each member different gifts, each according to His measure. And as members of the body, you have your mission. In our epistle text, St. Paul writes, "Brothers, if anyone who is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness." You have the Holy Spirit. You are one of those spiritual persons that Paul is speaking about here in our text. But first, before you go to extract that speck out of your brother's eye, examine yourself against the Ten Commandments. Examine yourself and take the log out of your own eye. Repent of your sin, and then, and only then, speak the truth in love to your erring neighbor. Restore him gently and humbly, speaking the truth in love. But beware, St. Paul says, keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We must keep watch on ourselves because the church is full of sinners. Every one of you, myself included, that's why we are here. And the sinful flesh is constantly tempting you and I to look down on our brothers and sisters in Christ who are struggling. Look down upon those who are falling into sinful temptations. And sometimes when we look down on them, it causes them to leave the church. Because what Christian does not love his neighbor as himself? And it is true that there are others who merely imagine that they have been hurt by members, and they too leave. Some leave Christ's church and refuse to do the mission, perform the mission, because God's word is used to rebuke and reprove just as Scripture requires. You see, the devil lays a host of these traps all over the place in hopes of getting Christians to fight with one another. That way, when we are fighting amongst ourselves, we don't have our eye on the mission. We do not have our eye on the cross of Jesus, who gave his life as ransom, winning our freedom. Jesus sends out the 72 in our gospel text this morning. Two by two, as sheep among wolves, to prepare the way that Jesus was about to go. But they're not supposed to take anything with them. They're to take nothing but be persistent and vigilant. And when they arrive at a house, they are to greet that house with peace. If they're welcomed in that house, they're to stay and eat what is provided for them. And in that town, they are to heal the sick and only proclaiming Jesus' words, saying, "The kingdom of God has come near to you." And if the town does not welcome them, they're to go into its streets and say, "Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you." But then the message is still proclaimed, "Know this, that the kingdom of God has come near." The words seem so simple. The plan seems so silly, sending two by two out 72 men from town to town with no supplies, repeating these simple words of Jesus. How is this possibly going to make a difference? Can it make a difference? Well, we know that Jesus' word does make the difference, because they're not just any words, they are God's efficacious words that have the power to do exactly what they say. Now, everything in the world has consequences, and the consequence for rejecting Jesus' word is punishment and death. The city of Sodom was really evil, but for those who rejected Jesus' message of salvation, for them it's going to be far worse than destruction of Sodom. And the cities of Chorazin and Bethsaida, they too had witnessed Jesus' mighty works. But they rejected Jesus. Even in Capernaum, Jesus' home base of his earthly ministry would be brought down to hell because the people rejected Jesus and his life-saving gospel. That very same gospel that causes pagans to repent and believe. By the power of God's word, people are healed and demons flee. And that is the work that only God can do. And he does it through his external word. His word is powerful and his message is dire. That's why it is so important to regularly receive Jesus' word, receive his sacraments. Word and sacrament are the most important things you can possibly do in this life. Because it is by means of word and sacrament that the Holy Spirit equips you and prepares you for your mission as you battle against the wolves in the world, the false preachers, the people who are pulling you astray into temptation. It prepares you to perform your mission, doing your part in service to Christ's church, making sacrifices for your neighbor and sharing the redeeming love of Jesus. Not that doing these works earn you anything toward your salvation. No, we established that. Jesus did all the work. He said it is finished. But he has work for you to do because of the love you have for him. Jesus has paid the price for your freedom. But we do these things because out of love that we have for our Lord who did pay the price. See, the power of God's word has nothing to do with dazzling eloquence. Each one of us can share God's word with someone else. You don't have to be a fancy speaker. In the Old Testament, God spoke through a donkey to Balaam. The 72 didn't go out dressed in hipster clothes with a fancy light show and upbeat music. No, in our text, God spoke through humble men, walking town to town without even a spare set of sandals. I'm sure when they came into town, the people thought, well, gee, here's another homeless person coming into town. But then they repeat the exact words of Jesus. Today, God continues to speak through humble servants, such as the dull, inarticulate man standing before you this morning. But remember, it is nothing at all to do with the man. It is everything to do with the message. Jesus says, the one who hears you hears me, and the one who rejects you rejects me, and the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me. Wherever you travel in this world, as long as your pastor is preaching the gospel in its full purity and administering the sacraments according to Christ's institution, there is Christ's church. It is God's word and God's work. You see, the Holy Gospel is all about Jesus. You did not witness the blood and the gore of the price of your Christian freedom. But you do have God's inspired word, recorded from those who did witness the blood and the gore. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. He came to suffer and die on the cross for you, putting to death all your sorrows, all of your sufferings, and all of your sins. And by means of word and sacrament, he pours out his blessings that he purchased on your behalf on the cross, namely, forgiveness, life, and salvation. You are set free. You are no longer subordinate and subject to the kingdom of the devil. You have freedom in Christ, and he has declared your independence. To be sure, the devil's not going to give up. He's still going to try to overwhelm you with grief and sorrow and anxiety, sickness, and even death. But you have nothing to fear. The battle may go on, but Jesus has already won the war, and he gives you his peace. Not as the world gives. He gives you peace knowing that you have been reconciled with the Father for his sake, for the sake of his death and resurrection. Instead of getting caught up in the worldly worries and troubles of the day, immerse yourself in the Word of God. It is the power of salvation for all who believe. Speaking God's grace-giving word against the world, boasting in nothing else except the cross of Christ Jesus. So while every year in the United States we do celebrate our independence as a free country, there is a greater independence and a greater freedom that we are to give thanks for. Each one of us daily, thank the Lord your God that your names are written in heaven. That is true freedom. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.